Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. The Grow Show is brought to you by Marty Grinder's Grow Group, where we specialize in teaching landscaping companies how to clarify their platform, grow their people, build their processes, and realize profits. Everything we teach is grounded in real experience. Our team is actively involved in the day-to-day operations of Southwest Ohio's Grinder Landscaping Company. New episodes of The Grow Show are released weekly on Wednesdays. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Now, here's your host, Marty Grinder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grinder from Grinder Landscaping Company and the Grow Group. Today, we've got Vince Torchia in the house with us. We're going to talk about the year in review here at Grinder Landscaping Company. But first, a reminder, you can get the latest edition of The Grow Show delivered to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts or watch us on YouTube for an enhanced learning experience. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since, it's on my shelf behind me, the Landscape Pros Playbook. It should have been in your November edition of Landscape Management Magazine. We're very proud of it. It is a 48-page playbook with the support of our advertisers that are all companies that we work with here at Grinder Landscaping Company. It's our strategies for thriving in a landscape business. Mr. Vince has a column in there. Emily has a column in there. It's something I've always wanted to do. Pick it up, read it. If you don't have a copy, drop us an email. grow@growgroupinc.com. We'll mail you out one, but it is a wonderful little playbook to keep in your truck, to keep in your backpack, to refer to throughout the year. Vince, thanks for helping us get this dream done, and to the team at Landscape Management Magazine that was just absolutely fantastic to work with. It's a great day. Vince, I'm going to turn it over to you because we got something kind of special set in place for today.
Yeah, Marty, thank you. It's hard to believe it's December. We're not only taking a peek into 2026, but we're taking a peek back at 2025. And so today I thought we could go through one of the best quotes I learned from you, which was a John Maxwell quote, was sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. And so we thought we'd take this morning and go back through some of the things we learned in 2025 and some of the things we won on and what we're doing about it, all related back to Grinder Landscaping Company, Marty. So we'll use our four P's, platform, people, process, profit, as a way to guide our conversation. Let's start with platform, Marty. When you look back on 2025 at GLC, where do you feel like we won on the culture side?
Well, we grew a lot. We added $4 million in revenue. So we added, I think, about 40 more people. And the turnover on the production side, the turnover has been very low. So I think the reinforcement of where we're going and what we're trying to do, the surveys of our clients, which is a huge indicator of what we're doing is working, has been good. Yes, we've had some problems, but we don't get surveys, Vince, where they say your people didn't give a you know what. There's a lot of kindness. I don't see people here working with my name on their shirt that I wish weren't here. So culturally, you know, you're only as good as your team. We always talk about that. We'll get more about that in the people part of the four P's, but there's some wins there. We added two significant players in Rachel and Dawn, and you and I have talked a lot about the impact they've had on the organization. Rachel, with helping with hiring, she is a pro at it, and she's improved our chances for winning there with the hires that she's gotten. And yes, we've missed on a few, but she's a pro at this. She, in a short amount of time, Vince, has grasped what our culture is here and is out looking for people that fits it. She's an experienced professional. And then Dawn, I mean, I just, you know, I hate to go on and on about it, but I just can't say enough good things about what she's done with the sales team. We were struggling there a little bit, and she came on board with us about 8 months ago, and she's just been a great breath of fresh air. She's one of the smartest people I've ever worked with. She's got a great way about her. She's a manager. She's good at things that I'm not good at. I enjoy being around her. Those, among some other things, you know, culturally. And by all means, you're involved here too. Maybe you have some thoughts as well.
Yeah, I think culturally that's spot on. I think that we've learned more about our ideal client this year. I'll put that in the win column. Yeah. We've done a fountain project. We've done a historical renovation of a property. We've landed more commercial snow work this year than ever before in the past at the time that we're recording this. So I think we talked, you know, we changed the mission statement to create opportunities for our team to grow and succeed. That was the new part of our mission statement that we added. And I think from a platform perspective, we are doing that. We're doing that through, again, looking at our ideal client in a new perspective for the kind of work that we want. And then to your point, Marty, we're putting out a culture that people want to be a part of. So when I look back on 25, to your point exactly, We've added a lot of points on the culture team side. We've added a lot of points on the ideal client side. Marty, where do you feel like we lost any ground, or where did you learn culture-wise this year?
Well, I think when you grow like we have, I think everybody falls into this trap, Vince. You assume people know how to do things, and you don't slow down enough to train them, and we've got to train better. We have a saying here that's trust the process, and you can say that as long as you understand the process. I think we have so many new people here, they don't understand the process, and the higher you get up on the org chart, the food chain, the front seat of the bus, things you take for granted that you just do, others don't understand how to do. We often hear from people, or the inference is, that landscaping is a simple business. I don't think it is. When you do the number of transactions that we do, and now in lawn care, some of those transactions are $80 lawn apps, and you have weather to deal with, and all these people, and complicated projects, there's just a lot. And when you grow and you add new people, it takes a while for them to understand how to do things. And so I think that's been a struggle. The great thing about our peer groups, Vince, is the barometer that we get out of almost 250 companies in there. I don't know, what is it? Maybe it's closing in on 1.8 billion, or am I too high?
No, 1.5. Yep.
So that's a big sample size. And like Cole Weller in South Dakota, talking to him, you know, a couple of years ago, and he was telling me some things to watch for. And my eyes didn't glaze over with what he was saying, but a lot of them have come to fruition, that cash flow's tougher, just the whole thing of running a bigger organization. So I think training is something we've got to do a better job of. And I think we have to, and this goes for me, I think I probably have to humble myself and go back to basics on some things, because we have a lot of new, well-intentioned people that they don't know what they're doing, Vince. And yeah, you would think on certain instances that they would understand it, but I don't know. I think at times that's a somewhat unfair assessment to make.
No, I think you're right. It all starts with leadership team, right? The people at the top of the organization. I'd say, Marty, the only thing I would add on the platform side would be communication. I think, to your point exactly, I think it goes hand in hand with what you're talking about. As the organization grows, the gaps in communication can become bigger as well. So not only do we have to lead better, but I think the function of how we need to lead better comes into communication, and how we communicate from a leadership team down to a management team, and from a management team down to administrative or field team, and from a production team across to a sales team. And so I think our meetings have gotten better over time, but I still think there's opportunity for us to improve communication. And I'll go back to a Marty Grunder-ism, which I think was a Patrick Lencioni-ism maybe, but back to the chief reminding officer attitude.
Oh yeah, I didn't come up with that. That is Patrick, okay, yeah.
Yeah, at all levels of the organization.
No, it is. And you make me think that, as I'm listening, this is really good to talk to you about this. We still have the same number of people that get it, okay? So we had 110 people on the team, 110 people got it. So they still get it. But the 40 that you added to get to the 150, they don't get it. So, but you're still kind of looking out there, and the masses still get it. So I think you just assume that everyone else is going to get it, and you got to go back to basics and reminding people of how you do things. And we probably got to do a better job of eating our own cooking. This is actually good to talk to you about this, because I think I just see a path where we probably have to do, you know, more of a focus on some of the basics again, like to remind people what's important.
Yeah, very good. Good. So we've got the platform already. Let's go into people. We talked about some people already, so maybe we can take a different shape of this. But when you think about 2025 as a year in review, what were the wins with the people side for you?
Well, we talked about Dawn and Rachel. Those are a win. We've added some great salespeople. They're green. And you know me, Vince, I try to keep it real and not sugarcoat things. We also shoved a couple people off the bus. I mean, we stopped the bus, opened the door, escorted them down the steps and said, you know, thanks, you need to get off the bus. But that was a big addition. And a reminder of something with people. Pete Luongo, great mentor to me. In fact, I'll send this episode to Pete. Hello to Pete. Wrote a great leadership book. And I remember him telling me 25 years ago at Frickers, I think it was, a chicken wing place. He said, Marty, he said, you got to learn how to tell somebody I love you, but you just can't work here anymore. And you know, that's hard. I mean, I was just coaching one of our clients yesterday on how to separate from a long-time employee that had done a lot of good, but the organization had grown beyond them. And like we've talked about, we had some people here that they could do it, but they didn't want to do it, so we had to get them off the bus. And then we had other people that I don't know that they could do it. We got to a level where we needed more and they weren't capable to do it. And then just to call a spade, I think we had some people that didn't want to work with us anymore. We're going too fast. We're pushing too hard. We're too demanding. It's too complicated. I don't know what it is, but you know, it's like this, Vince. I know I'm good. I know I am. I know we have a good company. I'm positive of that. But if we're going to be great, we got to look at things with a critical eye. One of the bravest things you've ever done is come on today with that Bengals football behind you. I'm just kidding. But, you know, hopefully the Bengals in the offseason finally do something. Hopefully the Reds this offseason do something. We don't really have an offseason with snow, but like we have some things we got to work on there on the people side. But gosh dang, do we have a lot of good people that we can work with. And the more we get them to see and to buy into what we're doing, invest in them. You know, we always say training is an investment. It's not an expense. And I think, you know, just continuing to work the plan on there, and something that I've learned, most of your people are capable of doing a lot more than you realize they can. And you got to do some low risk experiments, put them in a spot where you can see what they can do and let them go. And we have numerous examples of that here with people that started out working on the crew, then they ran the crew, now they're in a management position or they're running a department. And, you know, you mentioned our mission statement earlier. It's one thing to say that your mission statement is to create opportunities for your team to grow and succeed. It's another thing if you're actually doing it and you can bring people up and say, hey, this is Zach. He started out on the crew, then he ran a crew. Now he's our fleet and facilities coordinator and he's doing a nice job, Vince. Does Zach have a lot to learn? Yeah, he does. You know what Zach has? He's got a great attitude. I have had to ask him things or point out things. He never gets short with me. He's trying. I mean, man, you can do something with that. You get a good attitude and you can do something with that. And, you know, so, I mean, kind of more of the same there on the people side, but you got to slow down. And then I want to say something else about the people. So I was listening to the Green Grind podcast, which is Leroy and Corey. They're in Iowa. It's a really good podcast, actually. And they were talking, Corey Ballard is his name. He sold his company to private equity, and now he has a large company that sells equipment, mowers, and all kinds of equipment for your landscaping company. Ballard Enterprises, I think, is what's called. Fascinating what he's doing. But they were talking about, Corey has a couple consulting clients that he was working with, Vince. And he was saying how he's got a couple of these owners that just want to work from home. Like they don't go into the office anymore. And then they wonder why they have problems. And here's what he said that really resonated with me. He's like, you know, man, you got to be in there bumping knuckles and talking to people and saying hello and really, truly knowing what they're doing and what their names are. You can't run a business from home like that. That's not what these businesses are. And that really resonated with me. And it was funny. The next day, Lennon works on our lawn care department. Real nice guy. He's probably 6'4", big, towering, friendly fella. He says, hey, Marty, he goes, missed you. Haven't seen you in a while. Because as you know, I was on the road basically 3 straight weeks speaking. I wasn't in here. And he said that. And gosh, it made me feel good, Vince. As you know, I have a nail apron that has our logo on it and the four core values. And I wear it every morning and I pass out candy. I recognize people. I go around. I take a peek in a truck. I kind of try to look for the things we're looking for and reward them. And that combined with what Corey said on his podcast, it just made me realize like one of the best things I can do is be here in the morning. And I'm not undermining anybody. I'm not going around yelling at anybody or, you know, got my email out and write this guy up and go kick this guy's butt. I'm just looking for good stuff. And so that, I think that on the people side, we underestimate what something small like that can do for our culture and for our team.
Yeah, I would agree. I think back to Marty, to our, I think it was our July Grow meeting. Our Grow meeting is our once a month all team meeting, like a State of the Union, for those who didn't know what our Grow meeting is. But I think back to July with Lorenzo and Gaston, our team members who had their official change in status, which was awesome. Probably one of the core things I've been a part of at my 15 years at Grunder Landscaping Company.
Yeah, man, what is wrong with you? Holy smokes.
All goes back to your point, though. We've had a lot of great examples of people growing through the organization this year, and something that doesn't happen every year, right? Because to your point, with natural people coming on or leaving, when you get people that started on a team and now run a team or run teams, great opportunity to highlight them. So I think people this year, like every year, Marty, probably our biggest highs and our lowest lows probably all came from people, which seems to be the case probably every year. But when I think back on our wins, I definitely think seeing our team members who are not from here, most of them are from Mexico that work for Grunder Landscaping Company, but the Mexican team members that work here getting their change in status to citizens for the U.S., that's got to be a win as well, which is a really cool thing this year.
I wish, this is why I love talking with you, because that might be the biggest win of the year, to listen to Lorenzo and Gaston in their English, which is pretty good, and Spanish at the same time, talk about, listen, basically what they said was, I did it, you can do it too. And I remember Gaston saying, so if you want to do it, if you see a piece of trash, pick it up, keep your truck clean, be friendly, be someone others want to be around. And I'm listening to him like, oh my gosh, is that guy laying stuff? Because that's what we talk about.
Right.
And yeah, that was, to be honest with you, not to be sappy, I had tears in my eyes listening to those two guys, because they come from Mexico where they don't have a whole lot and they're grateful for the opportunity. And they've made a lot of the opportunity. And then for them to stand up in front of their brothers, you know, from Mexico and El Salvador and talk about it, I'm sure that was courageous for them to do that, because they're shining a light on themselves. But they were saying, you can do it too. And I think it was pretty special. I really do.
Yeah. And you talked about them already on the people side. Obviously, we have some training we can continue to do. We have some communication we can continue to do. Anything else on a learn column for you that you want to make sure we don't repeat for 26 on the people side?
Well, on the people side, really, really excited about Greenius, you know, the platform that Granum, we've got an episode or a whole series in there on sales training. But Brian's getting that dialed in. Yesterday, I came out in the shop and there were 30 folks on their phones sitting all around the shop. And at first I'm like, what are we doing? And they were all on the Greenius app taking a session and then coming back to discuss it. So I'm excited about that, because one of the greatest ways to keep your people is to show them a career path. They're not going to be able to move on the career path unless they improve their skills, and they're not going to improve their skills unless you train them. So somebody at some point's got to get serious. And that goes for whether you have 8 people or 200 people. Training has to be part of your company's success. It's not just a check the box thing. It's a genuine program that focuses where you have weaknesses and continues to remind everybody of the things we got to do, like wear PPE when we run a weed eater or a chainsaw, those kinds of things.
Yeah. Martin, let's talk about the process side. Thinking back on 2025, where were the wins on the process side of the business for Grunder? What sticks out to you?
Well, I think overall we're doing well, because I judge that by the complaints. And in Aspire, the very first dashboard is issues. And so we constantly know where we have issues. And I think right now, I checked this morning, there's 2 issues. We've done thousands of work tickets and there's 2 right now. Now, we've had a bunch. We've spent a fortune making things right. And we're, you know, as we mentioned yesterday in our little leadership team meeting, way too much money spent on callbacks and other stuff. So we are not perfect, but our properties look good. The lines are straight. The methodology and the way that we're doing things makes sense. Job sites that I go out, I see the truck parked in a strategic spot that makes the work more efficiently. We did make a lot of mistakes, but I see where we've improved in process. And I do think we got better in that area this year for sure.
Yeah, and I think so too. And I think that I would say, from, you know, my perspective inside and outside the organization, I think you're exactly right. I think the only thing broadly about process that I would add is, what opportunities do we have to teach more of the process to our team? That would be really it, Marty. I think we've got good systems and processes in place. We're constantly refining them. We're constantly updating them. We've done a nice job once a quarter of taking a step back and seeing what needs to be updated, changed, cleaned up. Bringing new people on, Marty, also gives you a chance to refresh a process, because you go to teach someone something and you're like, well, shoot, that's not how we do it anymore. No. We did that a year ago, but we don't do it that way anymore. So I'd say you're right on the process side. Probably of the 3 or the 4 pillars, Marty, probably the one that we've got I'd say dialed in very well. Again, to your point, lots of opportunity to teach better on the process, but I think we're in a good spot on the process
We know how to landscape. And in the leadership team meeting, Bill said something very wise this week. If you recall, he said, you know, we say trust the process, but the problem is a lot of new people don't know what that process is. I don't think I'm putting words in his mouth.
That's right.
And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like we got to, and that's what I was getting at too. When we were talking about the platform, you have so many new people, they don't know what they're doing. I think the other thing that we've done a really nice job, we haven't had a lot of turnover on the production side. We've had some turnover in the office. We have between some salespeople and accounting and stuff. And, you know, we're trying to learn from that. We've got number twos in place. There's an opportunity for us to grow. And next year, our budget is pretty flat, 5 to 10% growth. And we want to get our feet underneath us on all this stuff. We took on some very complicated projects that pulled leadership team into, and that's fine. But then they weren't able to work on some of this other stuff, and we paid for it there. Overall, what I'm most pleased, Vince, is the effort. There's people working hard. There's people trying. I look at two people like Brian and Bill on our team that are pretty quiet, nice people. They're working their tails off trying to help us get better. And that's motivating for me when I see the effort they're putting forth towards getting better.
Marty, what about profit? Let's go to our last P and then we can do a recap. But what sticks out to you from the win side on the profit side of the business?
Well, we got the revenue, but some of these complicated jobs, they were complicated and it affected our profitability. We poured several million dollars into a new facility in Cincinnati between buying the building, renovating it, buying all the equipment, getting the infrastructure in place, the monitors, the lockers, the office equipment, the darn landscaping, which we haven't put in, but we've had to fix a bunch of stuff. It's a pretty prominent location down there in an office park. Love the building, really love what it, you know, where it is and all that, but we got to have it looking good. It's been a lot of money. We're going to exceed our budget on revenue in Cincinnati. And I hate to say this because you're going to be like, Marty, how'd you do that? I guess I just didn't realize how much it was going to take financially to get this branch off the ground. But at the same time, nobody goes into any new business in the first year and is like, oh yeah, well, you know, we spent $3 million on our new location and we did $21 million in year one and we netted $3 million. I mean, that's like, I know I didn't think that was going to happen, but when you're working hard and then you don't have a lot of profits to show for it, I think you can get yourself in a ditch and think, what did I do wrong? But then when I look at it pragmatically, it's a new endeavor. We're on track there. Cincinnati is a phenomenal market. Our branch down there is 15 minutes from the wealthiest neighborhood in Cincinnati where we're starting to get some traction. We've got a healthy collection of commercial work and we'll continue to get that. The salespeople we have down there, the three gentlemen we have in sales they're doing really, really well. But you know, it's not going to be a banner year for us in profits, but if you go back and look at why, I think there's a very reasonable explanation for that because that's all what growth is. When we talk in our peer groups or I talk to industry giants and they go and they open up a branch office, you know, the ones I've talked to, they're like, yeah, you don't crush it in year one. That's like a 3 to 5 year thing. And then you start crushing it. And I can see where we're at, and we got a lot of underpinnings that are good, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I would say that we've also done, to your point exactly, because we've had such a financial change this year in terms of investing in the branch, different types of projects, taking on more commercial work, getting more into snow, we did our better job this year of educating the team financially about how the business actually earns, spends, and saves money.
Yeah.
So I think out of that, Marty, comes a renewed focus on some of the basic things to your point, like, hey, that's great that we're doing this, but is it the right mix for us?
Right.
Was it smart for us to invest all this money here versus here? So with that comes more scrutiny, and with more scrutiny, we can learn some things about that. So I think to your point, yes, we've had a different type of work. We've had a big investment in the branch, but it's also reminded us to focus on some basic financial things. Which goes back to, again, the biggest learning lesson this year definitely has been cash. Like many companies growing quickly, your investment in the business can outpace your profits in the business pretty quickly.
Right.
And we knew that, but to like experience it is very different. It's like, oh, I know that if I'm a running back and I run slow and get hit by Ray Lewis, like, I know that's going to hurt. But when you actually get hit by Ray Lewis, like,
it hurts.
You learn the lesson in a very different way. So we are right in the middle of learning about cash. And I'll tell you what the biggest thing that I've learned this year was, again, nothing that we didn't know, but maybe how to execute better on it, was accounts receivable communication with the team.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's centralized. Yes, its ownership is centralized. And yes, we have a process for how we do it. But just because you're not involved in that collection does not mean you just get to like put your arms up and be like, well, I'm not getting involved in that.
Right.
Like everybody on the team has to understand
right.
who owes money, why they owe money, and what we're doing to collect it. So
right.
I think to your point before, Don's done a really nice job working with the sales team to better understand why a client hasn't paid, what the holdups have been, putting process around that. But I would say our big learning opportunity this year was cash and cash management. And nothing will ever beat daily review of cash in, cash out, and AR balances.
Yesterday, I spent an hour with Ashley and Dawn going through AR. And what a difference this young lady, Ashley, has made. So we just, you know, you grow, you don't realize you have an issue. You get kind of caught with it. You try to put a system in place and you catch up. And to your point, we're going to be in a lot better spot next year. So I'm excited. There's some things that frustrated me from this year, but overall, when I look at what we're doing, and the reason I'm excited is my team. We got the best team we've ever had. I know that. And, you know, you struggle to, you know, like the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers won the World Series and they spent more money than anybody. But, you know, the Reds, I think they swept them in a series or they won a series from the Reds. So, you know, like not everything's perfect. And I think, again, I go back to, I know I'm good. I want to be great. So I got to focus on those things that are not so good. Don't sugarcoat them. Eat them. Eat your own cooking and go work and get better.
Yeah. Good. Marty, what's the thing you're most excited about for 2026? Then we can wrap up here.
I'm excited to see what we've got a spot if we get some snow here in Dayton and Cincinnati to really just get out of the gate strong with the amount of square footage that we maintain now and the systems we've put in place and the mechanization we've purchased to help us be more efficient. And I'm excited to learn from the mistakes that we've made and go through 2026. I think it's going to be super exciting. And you know, Vince, is sort of funny. So I went and found one of my old journals. This was one of the first ones I did. And I just, you know, spent about half an hour reading through it. And it was amazing to me how many of the things, this is from 2014, how many of the things there were, it's still the same. I wrote in here, it's when my daughter was playing soccer at Auburn. And the first entry I have is October 18th of 2014. I'm in Fayetteville, Arkansas with Katie. We just played Texas A&M. Shout out to Chris Penchick. Man, their fans are tough. The stuff they were yelling was insane. Flew to Arkansas to watch them play Arkansas and had lunch at Deluxe Burger, which I remember that. It was an incredible burger, but that's just a funny thing. I go through here and I look at the goals. It says weigh 210 pounds by Christmas. Well, I weigh 198 now, so I don't know why somebody didn't tell me I was fat. I think I was like 220 then. That was funny. But then I just go through here and look at things like look into Gallup Strengths Finder. That seems like something that would be good for our team to work on. We've gone through all that and what a difference it's made. Sell more commercial work. Okay. And I just go through here and look at things and the to-dos, be able to add our fourth and fifth salesperson. We have 11 now. And I just go through here and look my weekly plans and the things I was doing. Like just by reading through this, I can see the growth that I've had. And, you know, Vince, I was 42 years old when I put this journal together, 43. I'm 57, 14 years later or 13 years later. Or I can't count, 12 years later. But it's amazing just to go through. And it truly is, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's the same issues. There's more zeros after it. You do get better at dealing with the issues. And I think a lot of it has to do with this right here. It's the mindset. And, you know, you go in there in the morning with a smile on your face and a positive can-do attitude. There's a lot you can do with that. You go in there with a foul, nasty attitude and a frown on your face and nobody wants to be around you. And that's just another reminder. There is a lot that's changed, but there's a lot that stays the same.
No, Marty, that's a great segue. So we've got grow, 2026 coming up in Dallas, Texas. Part of what we're going to share at the opening of the event too are the highs and lows for companies from 2025 and what they're doing for 2026. So if you haven't, buy your tickets for Grow 2026, come to Dallas, come see us, come see Complete Land Sculpture, all of the great organizations that support the event, all of the 1,000+ people that will be there. Great way to kick off your year in February. Marty, we're looking forward to seeing everybody at Grow 2026. So Marty, thanks for doing this episode. Always fun to take a year in review and a peek look at GLC. And we'll talk to everybody next week on The Grow Show.
Well, I appreciate you greatly. And I'll close it up here, folks. That's going to do it for this week's edition of The Grow Show, powered by Steel. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to The Grow Show. And if you can, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more success-minded landscape professionals find us. And if you really want to help us, take out your phone right now and text and share that episode with someone that it might make an impact on them. Thanks for joining us on The Grow Show this week. We'll talk to you next week.
Join Marty Grunder and the Grow Group team for the annual event for Landscape Pros. Grow 2026 will be held on February 10th through 12th, 2026 in Dallas, Texas, and feature a behind-the-scenes tour of Complete Land Sculpture alongside breakout sessions diving deeper into the topics we cover each week on The Grow Show.